Welcome to Inspired Changemakers, a podcast about all the amazing things people are doing to make the world a better place. This podcast is about creating change and the moments that inspired our guests to activate. My name is Julia Healy, and I'm the CEO of United Charitable. Stay tuned to be inspired. All right, Lisa, thank you so much for being on my podcast today, Inspired Changemakers. When I say that I loved your book, there are some things that you have said in here that has been so impactful to me, and I am so honored to be sitting here with you today. And I just cannot wait to dive right in. to dive right in and ask you all of my questions.
Okay.
So first, let's start. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, actually raised in the suburbs, moved down to Chicago when I was about 20. I was a professional dancer, singer, actress. That was my first career because that's what we did when we were young to get us off the, you know, off the streets, so to speak. But I was, all my brothers, I have three brothers. We were all in gymnastics and track and sports and just everything. So I did that till I was about 25, still in Chicago. Then I decided I wasn't great at it and I didn't love it and the passion was gone. And so I took a desk job, like answering phones, telemarketing, which was the worst thing I could have done. And then started personal training. I started teaching fitness classes because I was a dancer. So it was just the next step for me. Did that, had a business in Chicago for about, I want to say 10, 12 years. We moved here 2004 when my daughter was about 6 months old because my husband got a job and we needed to move because he had a job. And just at play dates, things like that, I started organizing at my friends' houses, started teaching some classes at the Y, you know, because I thought personal training was still what I was going to do. And it just didn't work out. It was, it's so hard to like work in Northern Virginia when you're a trainer. And so got into organizing really out of the blue, kind of just something that fell into my lap, which I'm really good at it. And found that people had a need for it and didn't know how to do it themselves, just needed someone to help them like brainstorm.
So then what made you take the leap to actually write 17 Spatulas and The Man Who Fried an Egg?
So during COVID, we weren't going to houses. Clients that we had had before, you know, some of my organizers stayed in working with them, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't put my employees at risk, the people at risk, you know, all that, especially at the beginning and actually during it. So I reached out to a guy who has helped me write some of my brochures and things like that. And I said, let's, can you help me write the little system? Leave it to Lisa, L-I-T-L, the little system. And he's like, yeah, sure. So we wrote this book, which I thought was just going to be a little pamphlet to hand out when I do presentations, things like that. And my marketing team introduced me to a woman who was starting a book writing group, and she was a publisher. And so Deb Haynes said, would you like to meet her? I was like, yeah, because I don't know how to write a book. I was just like, I'm just going to give this pamphlet out, you know? And after I described my clients, like everything you've read in the book and what we do for them and the struggles and this common theme that I found around holding on to stuff mentally and physically, they all said, you got to write that's the book you have to write. Cause it's not, there's a lot of how to organize books and every house I work on, there's a one on the shelf. It's very difficult to how to learn how to something, myself included, cause I have ADD. So I need to touch and feel and smell and, you know, do it to learn and to really get it in my bones. So the book isn't really a how-to. It's a how to ask the questions why you're holding on to stuff. So I got my Dragon headset because I can't type. I'm just horrible. And my thoughts go, I always say this, my thoughts go faster than my mouth sometimes, and especially typing.
So you spoke the book.
I spoke the book. Yeah, 55,000 words in about a month. And I had taken notes for all the years before that on clients that were just unusual to me, or they had a personal impact on me, you know, something like that. And that's how the stories all got out of my head.
Yeah. And that's what I like about the book, because it is your interpretation of their journey.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's so amazing.
Thanks. And how I related to them. And I think that's That's, I think, what separates me and my team too. And I don't know how other organizers or how other people work, but we all relate something to something in our life. It might not be the exact thing, but, oh yeah, I've felt that before, or I've been overwhelmed, or I've been on that journey, and I still am, right? Like we were saying, still on the journey.
So then why do you think a clean, organized space can help you?
And that is all subject to the person in the clean, organized space. I myself might not have a perfectly organized, and I think maybe even when you met, oh, I'd hate to see your house because it's probably perfect. No, it works for me. And when it doesn't, I got to do something about it. When the mental clutter gets to be too much.
Yeah.
But the a clean, organized house is all in the perception of the person. Like, what does it mean to you? We are not the company that has all the bins.
The systems.
If you want
it. Are you not the container store?
No, we are not. And actually going into the container store overwhelms me. There's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. And just because it's in a bin doesn't mean it's organized. I call people that call me, I organize every weekend, but I can't find anything. Well, because you haven't gotten rid of anything and the system doesn't work for you.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has to work. I walk into cluttered homes, my friends, it works for them.
Right.
To me, it's cluttered. To me, I couldn't live there.
Right.
Or really super organized houses.
Right.
I'm like, do you live here? Well, it's the same. It's a different side of the same coin.
Right.
You know?
And I was raised by a mother that is the most organized. Mm. And I'm an only child.
Okay.
So like things were very much expected to be a very certain way. And she still lives that way.
Okay.
And I miss it. I miss being in her system.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's like an only child thing.
It might have.
Or like.
It might have helped you just not have to be responsible for things.
Yes. And so like my mom does the towels better than I could ever do the towels.
Why?
I just like them better. I like the way they smell better.
Well, because it's
like,
taken care of. And there's something about a mom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I keep trying to create that environment for my children.
Right.
And like, and it's so hard for me because they'll find what they appreciate about me.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
But like at the end of the day, sometimes I still feel like,
just kind of want to honor her.
I know. My mom's linen closet was like my favorite place. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, you read that in my book.
Yeah.
I would go in and organize. It was probably great, wonderfully organized. But for me, I need to do this to calm myself.
So the first thing when I read this book is that I did not know how it was going to apply to me.
Mm.
Right. Because you're like, OK, I'm reading a cleaning organizing book. Like, how is this going to apply? Like, I'm a very
my staff will tell you,
I'm a very clean person. I wipe down everything every day. Like, I will not leave papers on my desk. Like, everything has to be put away. Like, I'm very organized. Mm-hmm. My mom's a school teacher.
OK.
Like,
OK.
She organized
me. Well, you couldn't do your job if you weren't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a very organized person. But when you said when you were playing with your brothers and this was in My Secret Weapon.
Oh, yeah.
However, no one gave me permission or the tools to take a time out. And I would see my kids sometimes to feel withdrawing and just going in her room and coloring.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, something's wrong with her. Yeah. And I started to think like, but then you really write in here that it makes you sad that you had a hard time enjoying some of your childhood because of this struggle. So can you tell me about the time out and what that really was for you?
I think, first of all, I didn't know what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else seemed to be having fun and going for it and just full of this energy and wanted to be part of the group. And I was like, why don't I? Like, what's going on? And I think the permission to give myself a time out was more, and I don't think I do it now.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like we were just talking, like you got to give yourself a time out. You got to give yourself a break and be honest with yourself. So I think it's more you want to fit in. You don't want people to oddball you or to call attention to you. And I think I'm still that way. Like there's a part of me that likes to be the center of attention, but then, oh, gosh, now I'm in the center of attention.
That's okay. So that's me to like a key.
Yeah. And when you're a child, you want everybody to miss you when you're gone or say, oh, where's Lisa? And you're like, well, I don't want to leave because then I'm going to miss something. But if I don't, then I'm going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
And that's what half my childhood was.
Right.
Because I was so overwhelmed with my ADD-ness that I didn't know. And so I would just be part of it and then be like, screaming, whatever would happen. I'd lash out in some way.
I'd like to thank United Charitable for sponsoring today's Inspire Changemakers podcast. United Charitable is a national nonprofit that focuses on guiding you on your charitable journey. Whether you like to simply streamline your giving or you like to create your own charitable initiative, United Charitable has the knowledge and resources to support you. If you'd like to learn more, check out the link in our bio.
And then, so tell me the roles of you and your siblings. You go into it in the book, but what is your role in your siblings?
Oh, my role was protector of them, making sure they were taken care of after my mom and dad died. I'm 57. My mom died 2014, whatever that was ago. And we were all in our 50s when they died. But like I say in the book, it's like all of a sudden I forgot about that role. But it was innate with me because I was like 8 years old when my mom's like, you will take care of them. You're the girl. You're the only, this is what we do.
Right.
And I was like, okay, because my brothers, and that also, and I don't, I just realized this. That made me think that my brothers were weak.
Right.
Oh, I just realized that. Huh. So I had to protect them. And I remember beating up a guy. So my oldest brother's gay. And we knew that. I don't, you know, you just kind of know. And I remember someone was being mean to him. And I gave that kid a bloody nose and sticking up for my brother.
Love it.
And that was probably why. Because I thought he was weak. You know, some sort of weirdness.
So are you... You're Italian by marriage?
I'm Sicilian, and I'm married an Italian.
Oh, there we go. Yes, that's from Chicago. Yeah. That's almost as good as, like, the Italian jersey.
Yeah, you know well, my mean? Mom's like... Polish.
Oh, okay.
So we had a lot of emotions, lot of stuff, a lot of chaos going on.
Mm-hmm. But I love the timeout theory, because there's so many times that I specifically, and I never thought of it like this, but, you know, like, especially like a Saturday, right? Like, you think about a Saturday as a mom, and I have two girls. Mm. And again, I was an only child, so I managing two kids was not something that I was ever modeled to me.
Sure, sure.
Right? So, you know, you have soccer, then horseback riding, and then you have play dates, and you have all these things that you're supposed to do. Yeah. And then, so all of a sudden, we go from like 8:30 in the morning, and then it's like 3:00 in the afternoon, and I don't think I ate at that point. Gosh. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I look at my husband and I'm like, and he's like, you need to just go sit down. Yeah. Just go sit down, take like a break.
Yep.
And at some point I go, wait, am I failing? Like, do I need a break because I'm failing? Like all these things. And it reminded me of your book, take a time out.
Yeah.
Like it is okay for you to go recharge in the corner by yourself and giving us the permission to self-care, which I think.
Yes.
Your book really hit home. For me about this. Okay. So then that kind of leads me to the next part of what your superpower is.
Okay.
So do you want to describe to me what your superpower is?
So my superpower is my ADD. That's what I feel. It became my ADD. I mean, ADD became, and I realized it was. Because when I was 40, long story, went through two rounds by IVF to try to get pregnant again. I think, and it's not proof, but, you know, the hormones that they shot me up with were so strong.
Yeah.
And if you have a predisposition, you know, your neurotransmitters aren't firing in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, that just messed me up. But it taught me, A, that I wasn't crazy or stupid or lazy, which is the book that my psychiatrist gave me because I thought, what is wrong with me? Something is going on.
Right. Like and on grit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they say. Yeah.
Exactly. And the sad part was that those were words that I used to describe myself my whole life. Either lazy, stupid, or crazy. Can't get through the book. You're getting another F.
Right.
Whatever. Or you're crazy. Whatever it is. And so when I looked back at how I used organizing, again, my secret weapon, as a calming device or a calm myself. ADD is a superpower because I can feel things that people don't feel, which when I was a child, I used to take it all on. I didn't understand. I knew my parents had no money. I just knew innately, and I felt guilty when we'd go shopping or, you know, all of that. So I think ADD, people who have ADD, neurotransient people are amazing because we have learned how to cope. And we adapt. You know, again, it's that recognition. Okay, this is happening. What am I going to do? I can either spiral down here or I can say,
yeah,
what works for me? And I think it's taken me years and years. Like they say, your 50s, like you learn so much more about yourself. I wish I have a 20-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And she has a great mom, by the way, because I've gone through all of this.
Yeah.
And she says some stuff to me like, you told me that. Or, you know, like this whole thing. She's very empathic.
Yeah.
I think she has a little ADD, but she gets it. She's not that. She doesn't have to be around people just because she has to be around people. Which I love and appreciate.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Love and appreciate.
But that's why I call you an inspired change maker, is because you've taken your power and you now are using it to help other people figure themselves out. And yes, you organize. I get it.
Yeah. But it's like, not all about organizing.
It is not. Though. It's about figuring out their systems and then being okay with the system.
Yep.
Right. And it may not be as perfectly crisp as my mom would have done it. But if it works for me and my two kids, then it's good enough.
Right. Well, the stuff about your stuff is not about your stuff.
Which is
really not.
I'm going to read to you then my favorite part of the entire book, because I think this spoke to me in a way that I didn't expect it to. Again, when you read a book, I wasn't sure what to get out of it.
Right.
I wasn't sure how it was going to apply to me. And I'm a pretty clean person. So I was like, what is she going to teach me about organization? I was like, she should see my stuff. All right. Here it goes. When I feel stressed or overwhelmed and a need to fill the void, I get lost in that downward spiral and numb myself with my obsessions of choice. However, when I'm on the top of my game, instead of reaching for my credit card or a carton of ice cream, I look at my surroundings and see what can be changed, and then I change it. Mm-hmm. Give me an example of that.
Okay, got on the scale the other day, right?
Yeah.
I said this to you earlier. Got on the scale. Holy cow, when did this happen? Well, I know all my clothes are tighter, right? So instead of just saying, well, forget it, I'm never going to lose the weight. I'm 57 years old. Going to the gym. I'm just going to stop going to the gym. I'm just going to eat that carton of ice cream.
Right.
I said, okay, turn the mirror around, which is what I like to do for myself. It's hard.
Yeah.
But change isn't easy, right? So what are you doing to contribute to this weight gain or this whatever? And so I said, okay, my portions are huge. I'm doing whatever. What can I change? And I really could have, because my husband was gone. So, the secret eating ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
I used to love getting away with stuff when I was little.
Yeah.
I still love going through yellow lights.
Yeah.
That's how weird I am. I feel a little icky, dirty, nasty. Yeah. I'm going through a red light.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right? I mean, those little highs, those little weird things.
You. Yeah.
So that's an example. And that's, you know, again, we were also talking about the secrets you keep from yourself.
Yeah.
That's a secret I keep from myself.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm older, so I'm gaining. No,
it's
this. So I could easily just go and sit and feel sorry for myself. Again, sit in my dirty diapers and go, wah, wah, wah.
Right.
And I've done that. That's what the book is about. It's about, okay, you can sit there, do it, get it out of your system. And then do you want to sit there with wet diapers or do you want to make a change?
So I didn't know what I was going to expect when I read this. Mm-hmm. And to just have that realization of okay, I really could and that's my two things. I want to either spend money or I want to eat.
Yeah. Those are of course.
Those are it.
Easy.
I'm not the person that's going to do drugs or drink.
No,
I'm not
neither.
A drinker.
Yeah.
I want to spend money or I want to eat.
Yep.
And I was dealing with a stressful situation at work. And again, stressful in relative to what?
Yes, exactly. But it's your stressful.
It's my stressful.
Yeah.
I liked I work very hard to be able to, like, I want everything to be very predictable, right? Mm-hmm. So one thing goes out of the way, I'm like, oh God, like, what really, right? Like, something as easy as, like, the cleaning people couldn't come today and Marty was coming today to film and we're doing our podcast. And so I'm calling us out. Are we going to wipe down all the things? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, all, like, just stuff like this. Like, stuff that's not really.
You like planned. You like structure.
Yes, I'm an accountant.
There you go.
Do you know what I mean? I like everything to have tools. I'm a Libra. Like, there's just there's balance in my world all the time. And when I read that and I read that passage and I really thought through, and at one point I kept a negative thought journal.
Yeah.
Because I'm really trying to realize that ready? This is going to be a crazy thing that I say. My feelings are not facts. Mm-hmm. And my feelings are not there to do anything else but to just guide me in the right direction.
There you go. Awareness.
So if you pay way too much attention or give way too much credit to a feeling, mm-hmm. one of my negative thoughts, and I said this to you earlier, is I don't have time to pee. And I'm sitting and I'm back-to-back meetings, Zoom calls, because I run a successful company, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Right. I'm a mom. Like, I teach accounting at night at my local community college.
How can I
like,
pee?
I don't have time to.
Right.
And then you sat, and one of the things that we were supposed to do with the negative thoughts is we're supposed to take them down, and then we were supposed to rewrite them. Like, and we were supposed to, like, well, and the reality of it is I was working from home. I have three working bathrooms. I can be 2 minutes late to any meeting. And, oh, wow, I have to go to, because I'm drinking so much water. I'm, like, taking care of myself. Like, all these things that it was just, but you say it to yourself over and over enough, and then you live in that, I don't have enough
time.
That's
your truth,
And you live in this panic.
Exactly.
And I was like, I have a choice right now. And so I try to, when I'm in those moments, recognize that this is my space. There's things that I can control. And, like, you know, the control circle, like, things you can control. And what can I change right now to bring me ease?
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Bring me breath. Sometimes it's meditation.
Sometimes it's just taking a break, just breathing.
Yeah. Sometimes opening the blinds.
And how about laughing?
Oh, yeah, right.
I laugh at myself all the time.
Right. Because
the ridiculousness of a thought or something that I was like, what? Like, what is that?
So, and then we move from that into the someday syndrome. And this affected my life more than I expected it to. So tell me what the someday syndrome is.
Well, the someday syndrome, I think, is actually a syndrome. Like, it's the definition is something else.
Yeah.
But I've adapted it to someday I'm going to use it.
Yeah. Can you actually read that for me if you don't mind? Because that's really, I think it's so awesome.
Someday it'll be worth money or worth money someday. I'll wear it someday. I'll fit into it someday. I'll give it away someday. My kids will want it someday. I'll start up that hobby again someday. I'll finish that project someday. I'll get to it someday. Perfect. That's what we do all the time. Everybody.
And so.
And you're going to use it someday and you're going to give it away someday and you're.
And so I moved a project from three different houses.
Right.
So this dollhouse, right? And I moved it from three different houses because I was going to do something with it.
Okay.
For my, when Sophia was born, she's nine. So 9 years ago. And I've kept the dollhouse, the paint, the possible carpet samples that I got from the store. Like all of the, and every time I walked past it, I felt like a horrible mom. Like, I didn't make time for my kids. Like, I'm not showing up for them properly. Ask me if my kids want this dollhouse.
Right.
But, like, that's not, it's this, though.
Yeah.
We live in that.
Yeah. Yep, we do. All the time. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you still have all that stuff?
No.
Oh, because that would have been fun if you had it and said, hey, girls, I wanted to do this with you. Do you want to do it with me?
So
what I'm proud of you for not having it.
So what I, all the someday stuff that I was keeping, I decided to donate.
Oh, nice.
And it was.
After reading the book?
Yeah. Oh, and then I had like a junk.
Oh, wait, you told me that.
Yeah. So I had this whole section of donation stuff and then I had junk removal, like the junk people come. It wasn't 1-800, but like that type of company. And so I had them because I decided that after reading the book, that I don't, if my space is not empowering how I feel, and we'll get to the 17 spatulas, which is probably my favorite story. And I didn't understand why you named the book this until I read the story and how much things we keep because other people gave it to us or we're expected to keep
guilt,
it or right? And, or like, we can't use the thing that we really like because it's not as beautiful as the replacement mm-hmm. that our husband gave up, right? Like, you think about how many things in my house, I could put a post-it
exactly.
on how many things I was holding out of obligation mm-hmm. or I was holding because I wanted to, because when I lost the weight and I'm a better person.
Yeah.
Or when I have more time to devote to my kids.
Right.
Or what, like, it was this notion of who I was going
possible
to be.
Self.
Mm-hmm. This is the idea of we are all buying into our future self.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was a genius possible and awakening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it was like.
And there's nothing wrong with having a possible self, but being realistic about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But holding our value every day to that.
Yeah.
It's not healthy.
Right. Nope. It's not.
So can you go into the 17 spatulas?
Well, when I think this is in the book, when I go to events, mm-hmm. right? People go, well, what do you do? And I used to say years ago, well, we can help with the 17 spatulas in your kitchen to whole house moves and pack ups and, mm-hmm. you know, unpacks and blah, blah, blah. And then I met a woman who had 17 spatulas.
Yeah.
And what she taught me was not to place a value on something because it's new or shiny or your friend gave it to you or whatever, to replace your old stuff.
Right.
What was important to her, this 85 or so year old woman, was something that felt good in her hand and served a purpose.
Right.
Therapists say we keep things and do things because they serve a purpose.
Right.
Right. And whatever that purpose is.
Right.
It could be a feeling of I'm better than you. I'm guilty. I'm keeping this because you said I wouldn't. Whatever the, you know, there's a feeling. There's something behind it. Or it could be because my husband made it for me or my child gave it to me. There's reason. Everything in your house is you have it for a reason.
Yeah.
So when I realized that, I said, and that's how I work. Like, I don't care what your house looks like. We don't care what your house looks like when we get there or when we leave. I say this all the time.
Yeah.
How do you feel? How do you feel in your space? Is it better? Are you more organized in your head? Can you breathe? Can you relax? And then, so she was amazing. She was amazing just reiterating that. And I went back in clients. I was like, oh, yeah, those were a lot of my clients. Like the raggedy bedspread. I don't care if you keep the great grandmother made it. Keep it. Keep the crocheted whatever. Yeah. Great. Because you have that family feeling, that wonderful familiar feeling.
I would like to thank Athletes Charitable for sponsoring today's Inspired Changemakers podcast. Athletes Charitable offers a concierge membership service that provides the tools and resources to build a legacy through service. Our athlete-led team has the first-hand experience and expertise to provide hands-on support that simplifies the entire process for athletes and entertainers to reach their social entrepreneurship goals and create lasting impact in their communities. To learn more, check out the link in the bio.
And then the man who fried an egg was a gentleman I worked with. He was my first kind of true hoarder in a sense. Like, we'll work with hoarders on a certain scale because there are scales. He was willing to let go of things and release things. A therapist, you know, he worked with a therapist. Therapists refer us all the time when their clients are ready.
Yeah.
You know, because there's nothing I can do. I'm not a therapist. I play one on TV every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
But in my job, we can ask you questions, you know.
Right.
And he was in a townhouse. He lived in his townhouse was three floors. Never went upstairs after, 10 years, I think. He had a lot of trauma, a lot of stuff happened, and that reminded him of that. And couldn't use his kitchen, ordered takeout and microwavable and just crappy food. And slept in the basement on three yoga mats with chaos surrounding him, stacks of books and boxes and papers. So, very unhealthy in so many ways.
Yeah.
And after 8 months, well, he helped me through a lot of things. I helped him. We just became like brother and sister. He was so wonderfully honest and open with me. And after 8 months, he called me one morning and he said, Lisa, I just want you to know I fried an egg in my kitchen for the first time in 8 years. That was like, talk about life changing. Like, that man changed his life. So that's what we do with our clients. We can help you with the 17 spatulas, which is not an easy thing, but his whole life changed because of talking about why he held things. And he went through some deep healing. Really, like we worked, I worked with the therapist. It was amazing. It was amazing.
So, and it's so funny to me because I'm on the opposite side of keeping things. Mm-hmm. Like projects I'll keep, but like I'm not a sentimental person.
Mm, okay.
So basically what happened is, again, I told you I'm an only child. Mm-hmm. So when I got my own place, my parents delivered me a U-Haul of my childhood.
Oh, gosh.
Every dance costume.
Oh, wow.
Dance shoe. You know, those.
I'm surprising that your mom held on to all that stuff, being as organized as she was.
It was organized.
But it was for you.
And it was all for you.
So it was all for baby girl.
And it was beautifully organized.
Sure.
In beautiful boxes. And it was like labeled. Of course. She's a teacher. She's the best.
Exactly.
And I was like, and they give it to me. And I go, the dumpster's there.
Happy birthday.
I was like, the dumpster's over there. I'm not. Why would I want my artwork from when I was in kindergarten? Mm. Like, what does that have to do with me now?
Yeah.
And like they my Barbie toys that they held because they thought my kids were gonna. Mm. I was like, mm. I'm not having
someday.
You know, at that kid,
so someday, yeah. Someday.
And I was like, well, I'm not having, you know. And when they gave it to me, I was like, I'm not having kids. Like, why are we like, you know? So like the whole thought of, and then having to go through grandparents' house and going through other people's stuff. I was like, the thought of having stuff, I think, is burdensome.
It is.
To
it
other
is.
People.
It is.
And so there's some stuff that I keep. Like I have one assignment from college that I got a really good grade on that I look at every once in a while as an accounting pro. Like if some stuff from my master's that I really care about, but it's a bin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's my like, that's what I figure my kids will have, like the bin. But it's really funny because not everybody is like that.
Oh gosh, no.
And no. My husband has every karate belt. He has his action figures. He builds model cars. Oh, and he builds these adult Lego sets. And now we have all this stuff. And I'm like, oh. But like, so how do you handle
that? That is like the perfect marriage. That's why. It's like there's always that.
But
always that.
How when you walk into somebody's home, do you take a personality like mine who wants everything wiped down, and then a personality like his, it's like, well, if the Lego set's not complete, we can leave like the Lego pieces out.
Right.
You could put them in a plastic bag.
I am not a marriage counselor either, but I do this thing called the I don't want to hour.
Yeah.
And I started with my daughter years and years ago when she was little.
Okay.
I don't want to put my shoes away. I don't want to put my Barbies away. I don't want to put dolls in my shoes, whatever.
Yeah.
And my husband would say, I don't want to put my shoes. I'll put them up when I'm ready. I'll put them away.
Yeah.
So I started doing like I put a record on or, you know, a tape on. Yeah. And I was like, OK, it's the I don't want to hour. We're all going to run around and do things we don't want to do. And it helped me, too, because then I would see, and my husband has a little shelf in our kitchen that I know is his little area, right?
Yeah.
I walk by it. I know he's going to get to it, right? It's his stuff. He's going to get to it. So I don't let it affect him. A, because I heard this from a therapist years ago. Do you think your husband does anything malicious?
No.
Like he's not keeping his Legos out to bug you or
no.
Right? It's just his way of coping.
Correct.
And his way of doing.
Right.
So the solution is up to you, my dear. It's not, you know, something I can say, but I get in the middle of.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
Well, she holds on to and he holds on to and, you know, I can't do that. What do you want? How can I help you?
And we've been together 18 years now from this point, so we've made it work. But but I think the funniest thing is also being an only child. The way I left my space is the way that I came home to my space.
Yes.
So it's like, so there's so many issues going on there.
Yeah.
But what I think is also really interesting, what you talk about is the energy of stuff. Which I'm like, how can something or how can an item have energy? Explain it to me.
There's a lot of different views on that. Cindy Bettina was the person who I think gave me that first. Like there's an energy in stuff, positive and negative, of course. If you feel so that dollhouse, that had such negative energy
for you.
It started out positive and that's almost even worse. Right. So it has negative energy. I also believe that where something comes from Like, I do believe in like a personality and a universal thing. Because I can walk into people's homes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it feels weird to be in here.
Yeah.
That's just my, I'm just aware of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's other homes that I walk into, and I did this just recently that someone died like in the chair. And I was like, okay. He had a good life. Like, it wasn't an icky feeling.
Right.
You know, so I believe like on both of those. So I don't know if I wrote this in the book, but there's like there's a theory or a example of if you are carrying a backpack and you keep putting rocks of your doubt. Oh, it is in there. Okay. Yeah. I always forget what actually made it in there. Yeah. I should reread my book. and you just think about how much energy that takes. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the client, some of the clients I have or the stuff that you don't think should be in your house, your garage, all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you're literally carrying that around every single day or when you're in your home.
Right.
And how exhausting is that?
So you write, energetically, when we have too much stuff plus uncomfortable feelings surrounding it can be easily overwhelmed and completely exhausted and not even being aware of why. Surrounding ourselves with this kind of energy is like being wrapped in a binding, keeping us isolated and constricted. It may feel protective and safe, but in reality, it keeps us from being able to make changes, move forward, and live comfortably.
And that's also true with weight, because I've been on the both. I gain weight, I lose weight, I gain, you know, it depends on my situation. Now I'm in a healthier place, so I can look at my life a little bit better and not use food.
Yeah.
But it's protection.
Oh.
It's just, it's protection.
It goes back to that that one comment that you made when you have that one moment that you're like, okay, well, I'll eat instead of dealing. Yeah, instead of dealing with.
And sometimes eating is a lot better. Sometimes I just want to grab a glass of wine and watch Netflix instead of dealing with something.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's the truth of it. Like,
it is. And if I'm okay with that... Like, I can say, okay, I do have a choice right now, but right now it's kind of like my timeout. I'm not going to sit there for 4 hours and drink a bottle of wine, but right now, or go for a walk or whatever's healthier.
Yeah.
Sometimes a glass of wine is healthy.
Right.
You know?
If you just need the timeout.
Yeah. Just, you know, decide what works for you.
And what I really liked about your book in general, and I know we have to wrap this up and I could talk about this, I mean, 35 women
too, of course.
Like, went by like so quickly. But... You give people permission to be exactly where they're at and to meet themselves where they're at.
Isn't that nice to give yourself that?
How do you give yourself permission? Give me examples or the self-care things you do to give yourself permissions to be where you're at.
Well, I do meditate twice a day.
Do you? Okay.
Yes. I started, me and my daughter and husband, we did it for Christmas 2 years ago almost, like around Thanksgiving when she was home from school. And we do TM. So it's 23 minutes in the morning and in the afternoon.
What is, can you define?
Transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. So I have ADD. I bounce around the room. Yeah. I can't drink caffeinated coffee for that reason. And when I do, I'm like, oh, I feel, it just affects me. So for me to sit down, like it's hard to do yoga. I did Tai Chi for a long time and I was like, this is so boring. Oh my gosh. I would do the movements and like, because I couldn't settle my brain.
Yeah.
With transcendental meditation, there's way different, all the different times, it's, or kinds. I always thought meditation, no thoughts, no, just work on this one word. With this, it's let the thoughts come. Go back to your mantra, let the thoughts, because I'm-
And you
I'm,
don't tell anybody what your mantra is,
You
right?
don't. You don't tell anyone.
And so you don't know your daughters or your husbands.
No, it's all based on, I think there's like eight of them or something, based on what your goal is.
Okay.
And- I mean, I'm not getting all deep into that whole, like, because you could spend your whole life doing all their stuff. But me giving myself that has made a huge impact on my confidence and my, I'm sticking to what I told myself I would do, which is huge.
And that's not letting yourself down and believing in yourself and knowing that you can reach a goal.
Right.
No, I love the book. I think you give yourself so much permission in here to meet, and especially as a woman. Reading this book, it was super impactful. You talked about your fertility struggles, which not a lot of women write about.
I've had friends say, I had no idea that was. And when I was writing it, I didn't even realize that was
what
I was feeling.
Women are so embarrassed to talk about it. Exactly. And so you wrote it.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say thank you for sharing this with us.
Oh,
thank you. I can't wait to see what you write next. I mean,
don't say that.
Yeah, I'm going to put it out there in the world.
Can I tell you a really quick story,
yeah,
though?
Of course.
So this is something I like, talk about changing the world. My daughter's friend, just a guy, read my book, and he read it like within like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Because it's an easy read, you know, super. And I was like, a 20-year-old guy is going to read it.
Very relatable.
Impressed my daughter that he read his mom's, but whatever.
Ooh.
No, but I thought that's why, you know. And he sent a text or called Marina after, I don't know when it was. And he said, just tell your mom that I am, I don't know if he said reconsidering, rethinking my relationship with my dad. They've had a very rocky relationship for years. Not sure why, but I didn't get into it. And I thought, because of my book, what he read, because why is it serving him to be mad at his dad, to have this estranged relationship? So a 20-year-old's life, it's like your kids' lives have changed, like the trajectory of him and his dad's relationship, even if nothing changes on his dad's side, he's acknowledging something in himself and his responsibility with the relationship. So I was like, I can die a happy woman. Like, that is insane. I never realized the depth of what reading my book could be. So that's hard for me to say because I'm just me.
Yeah.
I just wrote a book, you know, but it's changing the world. It's amazing.
But you really explain the 17 spatulas with so, like, it's such an easy way to understand that you're holding on to things because you feel, because you're obligated. I mean, you give all the reasons, right? Like, because you're obligated, all the things. And if it doesn't serve you, you give me permission to get rid of it.
Okay, good.
You give me permission to get rid of it. And you think about this, and how many times do we need permission? And then I think about myself.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And then I go, I don't need permission to get rid of this. I don't need permission to go to the bathroom.
Like,
you think
or
about
to leave
the,
early or to, leave,
to,
yeah.
to take care of myself in any way. And I really like this because you had me thinking about things that I wouldn't have necessarily connected. And I thought, that's part of changing.
It
when
is.
You look at it from a different perspective, when you look at it, well, what can I change right now? Let's make it simple. What can I change right now? And I told you, one of my solutions in one of the moments, instead of eating, I decided to open the blinds and let the sunlight in. And I stared outside the window and I took a deep breath.
And that moment passed.
And the moment passed.
Yeah.
And I didn't need to eat whatever I was about to eat.
Exactly.
Or I didn't need to buy on Amazon, whatever, because Amazon's the
state of ridiculous. Mind,
so But But like... Yeah. You made it so digestible. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Julia,
for being on the podcast today.
Of course.
I loved your book. And I cannot wait to see all that you accomplish. And it's just amazing from there. Thank you.
Find Inspired Changemakers on Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn, and comment on all the awesome things you are doing to make this world a better place. Don't forget to subscribe.